Zero Hype Special Edition Number 1. Get it? It's like a special edition comic. We're making a funny joke about comics. All right. Okay. You'll get it. You'll get there. I'm Marima.
And I'm Danya.
And we have a very, very special episode of Hero Hype for you today. This is the first of our special edition episodes, as we teased last time. You had a little taste of what this is going to be like when we did our Daredevil-themed second half of our last episode. But this is our first proper one, and it's going to be all about Avengers Age of Ultron. Just came out. Very, very exciting.
Yes.
Yes. For this first episode, we are actually teaming up with Hype, which is our flagship podcast on hyperball.com. So we've got some hosts from that show. We've got us. We're all hanging out, having a chat about Age of Ultron. And we've got a bit of a spoiler-free section at the start. So if you haven't seen the film yet, because we know it's not out everywhere in the world, there's one notable exception. Sorry, guys. You can check that out. And then if you have seen it, you can listen all the way through. We will still be back with our regular episode of Hero Hype this week. This won't replace that episode, but these are just going to be kind of fun things that we do every so often. There'll just be additions on the feed, and if you're into it, you can listen, and if you're not into it, you can skip over it. Everyone wins.
Yay! Right? It's a little bit of something for everyone.
Exactly. Unless you don't like Avengers, in which case this is nothing for you and you should wait until our regular episode when we will have something for you. So like we mentioned last time, we are also looking to do these for maybe some films that have already come out. If there is a film that you would really love to hear us go back and do an in-depth discussion about, maybe pull on some other big fans or not so big fans of the movie, then yeah, we are totally open to that, and we would really like to hear the suggestions that you guys might like to throw at us. You can let us know on hyperball.com in the comment section, and you can let us know on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast, as always. And I think we've had a couple of suggestions already, but we're happy to have more. We'll see. As always, popular is the most important thing. So, yeah. Let us know. I mean, don't suggest the Fantastic Four movie. Like, let's just rule one out now. But anything else is fair game. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably watch the Fantastic Four movie
True.
Again.
Maybe not that's... Wolverine Origins. You've already sat through that one, Sissy, I think.
Yeah.
That's
I don't
one time
think,
too
please
many.
Don't. Yeah, I was going to say, please don't put me through that again.
Yeah.
I think once was enough.
Yeah.
Kind of want to go back into blissful ignorance.
Well, yes. Any others, let us know. And maybe we could do them for TV shows or, you know, anything. What about an Agent Carter-themed special edition? I mean, I just thought of that, but that seems like a great idea.
Could do, because the season was short enough.
Exactly. So we have a lot of options, and we're really excited about introducing these to you guys. Hopefully you like it. So make sure you let us know on Hyperball or on Twitter what you think about it. But I guess we should just jump right into our special edition number one Avengers Age of Ultron discussion. What do you think?
Yep. Let's get to it.
All right. I feel like we need that Wayne's World transition music, you know, that da-da-da-da. And then it just fades in nicely. And then suddenly we're here in the past or the future when we've recorded this. So what are we calling this? Hype Special 1?
Hype Special 1, yeah. Avengers Edition.
Avengers Starring Age of Ultron.
Us. Yeah. Now we're the Avengers.
Well, I mean, there's the intro right there. Don't even need to say anything else. Welcome to Hype Special number one. This is our Avengers edition. Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah.
This is our special episode all about Avengers Age of Ultron, like we mentioned last week. And even more exciting, it's a joint episode with Hero Hype, which is our podcast on hyperball.com about all things superhero. And so as the Venn diagram center section of those two podcasts, I guess I'm doing the thing today. So this is Hype Special number one and Hero Hype Special edition number one. and it's going to be all about Avengers Age of Ultron. We are really, really excited to talk about this. I'm Marima, and I have with me Selena from Hype.
Hello.
And Danya from Hero Hype.
Yay, hi.
Yay. And we might have some other people joining us later if they decide to arrive, but who knows? For now, it's all ladies, and who doesn't love that? So if you have not seen Avengers Age of Ultron yet, because we know there is a certain country where the film has not yet arrived, don't worry. The first half of this, or the first section, is going to be spoiler-free, no big plot spoilers. So you'll be able to listen and see kind of what we thought about it. Then you can go into the movie, you can come back and listen to the rest. And for the lucky people out there who have already seen the film once or maybe even twice, mm-hmm. you can listen all the way through to the end and feel superior, because for
so
once,
relieved.
You got a film first, and this never, ever happens, as the three foreigners on this podcast can attest to.
I was just going to say, there's no Americans on the show. We did it, guys!
Yes, the takeover is complete. It's finally happened. Where shall we? Maybe that's a good place to start. How about a little tally? How many times has everyone seen Avengers: Age of Ultron by now? Selena, what about you?
Well, I was just telling you guys before the show that I've actually watched it twice, which is, if you know me at all, that never happened. So that's certainly like a testament to how much I really did enjoy the experience, and also how confused I was, because I didn't see the Iron Man films before going to this. I was like, who is that dude? So I thought,
wow,
I had to watch it again. So yeah, twice.
You must have seen it like the day after each other, right?
You know, I did. I went to the screening on Wednesday, and then Thursday afternoon I'd been to the gym. I was walking by the cinema. I was like, you know what? Yeah, this is a good time for some Avengers. So
anytime. You were like all pumped up from the gym.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Like, that's right.
I could be.
I'm going to watch other people do lots of exercise.
Yeah. It really just fits inspiration.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. I'll put it on next time.
Yeah.
And Danya, what about you?
I've seen it once. So I went to the midnight showing in London. And yeah, I don't know if I'm going to see it again.
Dun, dun, dun.
Maybe not.
Oh, all right, we'll get to that. I have seen it twice also. I saw it on the weekend, and I'll tell you guys a little story. This is the saga of how Marima hates 3D screenings. And so when I was sent the press screening for this, there was one that was in 3D, and there was one that was not marked as 3D, and I very consciously chose the one that was not in 3D. And what happens as soon as I get there? They hand me some Ultron 3D glasses. Mm-hmm. So I was not pleased about that.
I'm the same. Yeah, the first one I saw was 3D. That's one of the reasons I wanted to see it again.
Yeah, so I saw it in 2D as well. I did a little spontaneous trip with some friends when it opened. And I actually caught a couple of things I didn't see the first time because I was not busy holding 3D glasses over my actual glasses on my face.
You know what I found interesting actually about that? I wasn't going to mention it, but first of all, the 3D version here in Denmark has subtitles, big yellow things that go over everything, and they totally mess up your mind. So that was stupid. But also when I saw it the second time in 2D, the screen was cropped. So like, it was really strange because sometimes, like, and I only noticed this because I'd just seen it the day before, like, the heads of the Avengers would be, like, cut off just above the eyes in the close-up shots.
What?
And it was really, like, I'm sure nobody noticed, but I noticed.
Like when your grandma takes a photo for you?
Yes. Yeah, or, like, wow. You know, the edges of the screen as well. Like, sometimes something was happening and I knew you were supposed to be able to see it and you couldn't see it. It was so weird. I'm so glad that like that wasn't the first time I watched it.
I would have been so mad.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been, that sort of thing really bugs me.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I chose to go to the BFI IMAX to see this is that the IMAX glasses are different to normal 3D glasses in that they kind of curve slightly and come around. And so you can't see, like, almost out of the corners of your eyes and kind of take yourself out of the film.
Yeah.
So in terms of watching 3D films, it's a lot easier for me to watch it in, like, the big proper IMAX screens than it is, like, in any of, like, the normal 3D showings.
I wish we had IMAX here.
It's good.
Do you
it's
not?
No, we don't.
Is Denmark a real place?
I live in a hut in the woods, guys. This is a coconut phone. The city.
Wow. On a piece of string, right?
Yep.
It's amazing how technology works.
I know, right? I'm a genius.
Yeah. I would say just in terms of the 3D thing, I really didn't feel, you guys might disagree, but I really didn't feel like there was anything in this film that makes the 3D worth it. And
no,
as
it only makes like the heads pop, like pop out book.
Yeah, as my date to the screening said to me afterwards, like, the 3D doesn't make it look better. It just makes it look worse when you're not wearing the 3D glasses. And I feel like that was a fairly accurate description. Mm-hmm. Such a waste of money and time. Like, sometimes, you know, sometimes there is something worth seeing. Like, it's worth going if you like 3D because there's a great scene or something. But there was really nothing in this. So save your money if you have not seen it yet.
Yeah, go and see a 2D showing. Like they said, it's just not worth splashing out the extra for the 3D. I think I spoke about this previously. I don't know if I did it on air or not on the last Hero Hype episode, where I was saying that I don't mind 3D when it's used consciously to add another layer to a movie or to add something to it or enhance the story that's already there. But when it's 3D for the sake of 3D, it's useless. It's
pointless.
It's not worth
it.
Exactly. And
I hate it on principle.
Me too. Still just saying it's like watching a pop-up book. Anyway, we don't have to talk about this.
I have one more question. Were the subtitles also in 3D or like they were just on the top of it?
Frustrating is that you're trying to watch this thing that's trying to trick you into believing that it's really happening and it's not really working. So you're already kind of taken out of the experience. And then you've got these clunky yellow just block of text just wherever they move it sometimes around on the screen depending on where the faces are. So it's like you're following it around. And it's in front of everything. So it just really just it adds to the pop-up experience, you know, of a layer of this, a layer of face, a layer of background, you know, a layer.
Wow. Okay. So Selena wins for the worst experience, worst viewing experience. But funnily enough, I think, Selena, you enjoyed it the most, aside from all of those issues.
Yeah, because Jimmy isn't here. I guess that makes me the cheerleader.
Yeah. Why don't you do some cheering? Why did you love it? Or what did you love about it? But no spoilers.
Okay, then. The story. The character.
I like that thing that happens, yeah.
I guess I just want to, because I feel like once we get into the discussion, I'm going to join the nitpicking, because, I mean, the more I think about it, the more things I can think of that I was like, oh, maybe they shouldn't have done that. Oh, maybe, you know, whatever. But I really want to get it clear at the beginning that whatever nitpicking that I'm going to do overall, I really thought it was a spectacular experience. You know, I came out of it like really pumped up and really like, I felt like the mix of character moments and action for the most part was really well balanced and really kept me go. Like, there was only one time in the movie when I was like, okay, you know, can I go to the bathroom now? Like, oh, we'll talk about that. But it was a masterpiece of whimsy, if you can say that. Like, it was action, it was drama, it was depth, and I really just thought it was fantastic. And I also, when I watched it the second time, I think it was a truly enjoyable experience for me. And I say that, you know, not having read any of the comics and up until last night not having seen any of the Iron Man films. So obviously I'm coming at it from a relatively innocent point of view, you know. But as that type of fan and as a Joss Whedon fan, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was very Whedon-ish.
Mm. Yeah.
Like more noticeably than The Last Avengers, I would say. There were a lot of Whedonisms in it, a lot of quips and... You know, if you like that, it makes it fun. Like, the first time I watched it, it was a fun, entertaining, totally over the top, outrageous movie, and that's what superhero movies are.
And it had that heart, you know. That's really what I thought, was that it had that sort of character driven heart to it and humor. Yeah, you go. Tell me why I'm wrong.
I thought that if you kind of looked at this as like a fun action filled romp, you're gonna love this movie.
That's probably what I did.
If you're actually looking for heart and depth and any kind of emotional resonance, skip it. There's nothing there. Full stop.
Oh, whoa. That's harsh.
That's gonna go for some interesting discussion there.
Yeah.
That is harsh.
I actually was talking about this with some friends who I saw the film with, and when I took stock of everything that happened in the film, it's a one and done. There is no connection to the wider universe. It doesn't bring in practically anything from any of the previous movies, and it's unlikely that it's going to link to any of the ones in the future, because it's just one and done. That's it. It's very self-contained.
It sounds like you felt about this movie how I felt about The Hobbit.
Yeah.
That's harsh, Selena. That's really harsh.
Hey!
Don't compare something to The Hobbit. That's so mean.
Oh, no, I was just saying the way she feels about it is like how I felt. I'm not comparing it to The Hobbit.
That's fine. I just wanted to get a little insult for The Hobbit into the show.
Don't worry, I'm going to bring it up again later.
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you mean, Dee. Although I do think... probably the way it did connect to the other movies, unfortunately for Selena, is it did bring in quite a few characters. Like, I had a friend sitting next to me who was like, who are these people? Because they couldn't remember the Iron Man. I don't think they'd seen Iron Man 2 and 3, and they couldn't remember Captain America 2.
I really had that problem too, because I've seen Captain America 2, but I couldn't remember. So I was like, S.H.I.E.L.D., what? Who? Hydra? Like, I was trying to piece it all together in my mind.
Yeah, but yeah, it is definitely a little more separate from the wider Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think that's a fair criticism. For me, the second time I saw it, I don't know, I guess you know what you're getting the second time. So it was less funny in a way, because those little quips don't hit as well when you're expecting them. But at the same time, other aspects of it were more enjoyable for me, because I had just accepted, like, this is what's happening and this is what I'm watching. And, you know, it was, it was a weird little balance. But
I do have to say I had a really good audience the first time. Like, I was, everyone were super, super nerdy, like, in the best way possible fans, and they were all laughing at all the right times. And I even we're going to get into this, but even the romance stuff, which actually had me cringing, I had this guy sitting next to me, and he was like the biggest shipper fanboy I have ever seen in my life. And every time something happened, he was like, oh, and whispering to his friends, like, oh my God. And that just, it made it more enjoyable, I think.
That's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, it was so funny. And meanwhile, I was sitting there like, oh, really? But then he made it better.
Yeah, a good audience is key, I feel. I had a good audience both times, I have to say. Although, you know, it was funny. Usually when you go to, like, press screenings, it's just a bunch of, like, older people just sitting there very seriously, like, reviewing. And I guess for this one, they had a competition or something. So there was a huge, huge cinema, and it was full with, like, and people were so excited because it was, you know, I don't know, like a week before it came out or something. And I had these kids sitting next to me who were very excited, like, but possibly too young to be in the cinema for an Avengers movie. I think towards the end of the film, maybe their parents were thinking like, oh dear, we should not have brought these people here. But a good audience, it does make all the difference.
Yeah.
I think the audience was pretty good in my screening as well. There was a lot of, like, out loud reactions to it. I couldn't see any other empty seat in the cinema except, like, right next to me. They were, like, one of their friends hadn't showed up. Like, they'd been calling them and calling them and calling them, like, have you come, like, Age of Ultron's, like, it's about to start, where the hell are you? And they were like, oh, no, I fell asleep, I'm not going to come. And they were like, wow, because these tickets weren't cheap. The row that we got was, like, really, really far back, so you can see the entire screen, and they're the most expensive tickets in like, the whole cinema screen. And he was just like, no, I'm just not going to come. It's fine. I'm going to go to bed. And it's like, oh, my gosh. So
so you put your feet up, you know.
Yeah, pretty much. I got like two whole seats to myself.
That's amazing. And still you didn't like the movie. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
I feel like that's probably as far as we can go without spoiling it. So if you haven't watched the movie, this is a time to turn off.
Yeah.
Seriously, because there will be some spoilers. And I think this is the movie that you really want to see without major spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are enough things to be annoyed about. You don't need to be annoyed about the fact that you already know what's coming.
So
turn off.
It'll probably influence your opinion. Yeah. It'll influence your opinion if you listen past you, whether it's forcing you to think of it in a positive light or forcing you to think of it in a negative light. Just go and experience it for yourself before you come and listen to this.
Yes.
All right. So, okay, I feel like, yes, Jimmy is here, but I'm waiting for him to join the... I've been waiting for him for 10 minutes to join the call so I can introduce him.
Oh, it's perfect timing. Yeah. Jeez. So he doesn't get to talk about his cinema.
No.
Hello, hello.
He's here.
Hello.
Hey.
Okay.
Good timing.
Perfect timing.
Just like Thor's visions, I just randomly showed up in the middle. And
yes.
And I was going to tell you, a wizard is never late.
He always arrives exactly when he means to.
Precisely. Well, now we've referenced everything that we possibly could reference.
Yeah.
That is the dulcet tones of Jimmy Bean joining us now to talk about his spoilery thoughts on the Avengers. He doesn't have time for non-spoiler sections.
No.
He's a busy man.
I basically gave you my non-spoilers last week.
Yeah, we had them on Hero Hype last week.
So what spoilers have you guys talked about so far?
None.
We're about to start.
Oh my god. Okay, let's do it.
All right. Selena, first of all, I need to know at what moment were you thinking I need to go to the bathroom? This is very important.
Okay, well, actually, yeah. Because when I saw it the second time, the first time, you know, I didn't go to the bathroom, but the second time is a long movie. And I was sitting there like, when can I go? And like every time I wanted to go to the bathroom, I was like, oh no, I really want to see this when they did the flashbacks and everything. But then when the scene, the Hulk Iron Man fight scene started, I realized this is going to be 15 minutes of them crashing through buildings. And it means nothing. Like, it means something. The moment itself meant something for Hulk, but the fight itself. And then the Veronica came down, and then the Veronica split open, and then he arrived. And I was like, you know what? I can go right now. I don't even have to hurry back.
I get the feeling that I know exactly what's happening during this.
Yeah, exactly. And there were no, like, there was, as far as I remember, there was no dialogue. There was no anything. It was just Iron Man being badass. And, like, I'm not a big fan of Iron Man, so I was okay missing that, so...
Well, I feel like that's a good question because I had the same thing the second time I saw it, but I kind of had it with a couple of the action sequences. Do you think there were too many? Like, was it too much? I know it's an Avengers movie and, like, that's kind of what you're getting, but they seem to stretch on for longer than they needed to.
I don't know about
too many. I think it also depends on which one it was because some of them were the beats were very, very clear all the way throughout. Like the final sequence I thought was really well put together. But I think that it at certain points just became it was hard to track like who was fighting who and geographically where everyone was, and because of that it was easy to just sort of let it wash over you, and then you just sort of came to a couple minutes later. You're like, oh, that everyone's in a different place now. All right.
Well, I don't mind the action when it's funny. Like, you know, for most of the action scenes, either there was some kind of emotional resonance, or there were these really funny quips throughout. Especially Hawkeye. I mean, he was on fire in this movie. He was hilarious. So for most of it,
I didn't mention the H word. Never stop.
Yeah, and she was like, oh.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I didn't mind it, except for that one part where nothing was, like, emotionally, there was nothing you needed to hear or to see to understand anything that was going to happen the rest of the movie, you know?
I'd
argue that of most of the action scenes, but...
I guess you could say, I just felt like there was something to enjoy in the other ones, you know, there was some kind of humor or emotion.
I will say, for me, I think the opening sequence, that whole kind of get the scepter kind of recon mission, that probably peaked for me.
That was really early.
I loved it.
Like,
I did
that was a good talk. No, it wasn't.
That was probably the best of the action sequences, the best of the interaction between the characters. And for me, it was all downhill from there. I think it peaked early for
it's
me.
Such
Don't
a
hold
shame.
Back. 10 minutes in, Johnny's like, I'm out.
No, I'm going to be completely honest. I was very, very disappointed with the whole movie.
I'm so sorry you felt that way. Like, that's really, really unfortunate.
Me too, because this is like the closest you're ever going to get to a standalone Hawkeye movie as well. I'm sorry that experience was ruined for you.
No, but I think, like, the thing that frustrates me about this is, yes, I love the Hawkeye stuff. Yes, I think it was awesome. I think he was definitely one of the highlights for me. However, it came at the expense of everything else, and that was the last thing that I wanted.
I can actually see a little bit of what you're talking about there in terms of, like, well, I mean, the guys that have their own franchise were kind of swept under the rug or went off to have their own subplot that really kind of just, like, pointed towards the future stuff. That all that stuff I thought was kind of unnecessary, especially when you consider that, like, in the trailer, they have that same cave and they have the really interesting African woman that's, like, looking over, and then they just change it to, like, Thor gets Erik Selvig, and then they go over and then he has hallucinations, and then, like,
he comes
back and knows that the Vision needs to be in existence.
Oh,
like, the,
God.
Because he took a bath.
Yeah.
that really got to me. But it really became about all of the characters that don't have their own franchises. And they really, really wanted to highlight them this time around. And I think that may be because they plan on killing a couple of them off in Civil War and Infinity War Part 1.
Well, I agree with that, with one major difference, is that I don't think Black Widow was treated well at all in this film. I loved what they did with Hawkeye. I really loved the twins, who we'll talk about in a minute.
Oh, my God, that's weird.
Yeah, Black Widow, I think, was treated just terribly.
Why do you think it's terrible? Because I partly disagree.
Here's the thing. It's really easy to say, like, okay, like, we're capturing Black Widow's vulnerable side, and, like, everyone has a human side. Everyone has, like, that sexual side that wants to get out. But it's like, all right, you have Black Widow in a bathrobe, which is an image that's just kind of incongruent, asking to get into the shower with the Hulk. Like, and it's not something that's really been established really before this, other than in this movie as well. And all of that coming together just felt so cheap to me. It felt unearned. It felt like, let's put this in here because we think that this relationship would be interesting.
I agree with that, but now you're talking about the relationship and not about Black Widow.
But unfortunately, a lot of the stuff that they gave her is that's all they gave her.
I want to disagree with that, but I'll let you guys finish.
I did love the Red Room, all of the Red Room flashbacks for Scarlet Witch. I thought that from Scarlet Witch, I thought those were all great.
Yes, I will agree with that.
Yeah, I do agree that it is such a shame that she was tied so closely with Hulk. Although there were people that responded really well to that arc.
Like the guy next to me in the cinema.
No, my girlfriend being one of them. Megan, she thought that worked really, really well.
You know,
did you want to say something about Black Widow?
I feel the same as Jimmy. Is like, a lot of this was unearned. Kind of, they turned her into like a simpering damsel in distress. They literally put her in a cage in order to further the plot at the end of the movie, and had her lying around waiting for someone to come and rescue her.
I remember thinking, you know, how weird that was, watching the movie and knowing that Joss Whedon was the brain behind it, and he was just criticizing Jurassic Park for falling into the same, like, cookie cutter, like, damsel in distress. Oh, she's like the sterile kind of scientist. And yet this thing kind of. I've never made a movie as incredible and awesome as this. So I feel like a piece of shit even criticizing it a little bit. Like, could you imagine 14? Oh, yeah, that's sorry. Yeah. Uh-huh. No, we have to actually, we should turn that into a running joke. I really, really appreciate that the first line of the movie is shit.
Yeah.
I think it's so perfect.
Yeah. But, I mean, I guess we're kind of talking about the relationship aspect right now.
Well, no, I have major issues with Black Widow's treatment, like, of Black Widow. Outside of, I think it is a very fair criticism to say that most of what they gave her to do was to do with her potential, apparently, relationship with the Hulk, which, as Jimmy and Donya have said, have come out of nowhere. Everything else that they gave her seemed to be this very sudden motherly urges that they forced upon her, and I did not appreciate her comments about her being a monster because she was sterile. But that's clearly also ties into, like, in her Red Room flashbacks, just to finish, she's shown to be, like, she fails her test on purpose because she doesn't want to go through the, like, graduation ceremony, quote-unquote, of this procedure. And nothing that we have seen, I mean, you're talking outside of the comics now, you're talking what we've seen of Black Widow in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but nothing that we have seen of her has shown that any of that is is at all part of her character. And, you know, they wanted to show the home life and whatever. I don't like that they took away her personality, because what we saw of her was unlike anything we had seen either in the Avengers or in Captain America 2, which I feel like was the best representation we've seen of her character so far. And this was so disconnected from that. And yeah, I didn't like anything that she did in this movie. And I'm so sorry about that, because she's my favorite Avenger. Like, she's my favorite character, and yeah, I just don't like the choices that they made with her.
I really strongly disagree. I don't strongly disagree. I partly disagree. Can I say why?
Yes.
Now that you guys are like, yeah. But I strongly disagree about the parts that I disagree with. I will say I had this, one of my few notes as well was to make sure, I figured you guys were probably going to bring it up, but the fact that they gave the only main female character, I mean, I suppose aside from Scarlet Witch, but she doesn't count because she's new. But the fact that they gave the only main female character a love interest, that really disappointed me, because I felt like, and this is where, you know, The Hobbit comes in again, I feel like Joss Whedon fell into the same trap as Peter Jackson fell into, which I was expecting better from both of them, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't think a female character needs a romance story to be interesting, and I don't think the Black Widow needed this, as you said, completely unearned romance. Because the thing is, again, this is something they were like, who are we going to pair her up with? Oh, the Hulk. But what I do think, and I was thinking this both times I watched it, was that her story, her aside scenes with the Hulk, while on their own, I didn't find them particularly enjoyable. I don't think it ruined how I felt about the character overall. Like, her action scenes, her relationship with Hawkeye, her interactions with the other Avengers, I still really, really enjoyed all of that. I saw the cage thing as well, and I thought, ooh, really, Josh? You're going to have the guy rescue her? But that's the moment, I think, for me, when I realized that why the romance story bothered me was because of what it did to the Hulk, not because of what it did to her. Because the Hulk, in the first movie, the Hulk was actually my favorite character. In this one, he was my least favorite character. Like, I saw what they were trying to do with him. I saw, you know, the whole, it was very dark, his storyline, and ultimately, he flies away, you know, he's like Hulk out, and he leaves, and he doesn't get, I don't know, I felt like he just, on a very sort of low level, I just felt like he brought the mood down. And on sort of a higher level, I just felt like he went through something extremely tragic, and in a way, his interactions with the Avengers, like, he was very much a plot point for a lot of it, and he was very much a plot point for the Black Widow and for the Vision to come about and for everything to happen. He was like, no, Tony, I'm not going to do that. And then the next scene, he's like doing it, and you're like, what? So I think for me, the romance hurt him more than it hurt her, whereas she still got to be a fighter, and not as a female character, but just as a character. I felt like she's one of the best Avengers, and in this movie I really felt she did some really good stuff. I see all of your criticism, absolutely I do, but I don't think it ruined the character for me.
See, it did for me.
yeah, but differing yeah. opinions.
Yeah,
I think
of course.
The Hulk in this movie was basically Angel, like having a
yes, he was. I was thinking exactly
Angelus.
The same thing.
Oh, I'm gonna hurt people.
I'm gonna need
nice
the other guy now.
yeah. Like, all right, chill out, Angel.
Let me ask you guys this, because that was my biggest criticism as well, was that it doesn't seem to be within Black Widow's character, because I mean, Iron Man 2, she's all about the mission. Avengers,
but
she's
she
all
was
about
very,
the mission.
I don't
Captain
know.
America,
I think she's always been really like sexual as a being. So to me, it made sense to her that she would. Anyway, go on.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, is I'm wondering if after the events of Winter Soldier, when she gets a little bit more perspective, if she's looking to branch out into more of, like, a classic life, like, if it's more of an evolution than a betrayal of the character.
That's
then, because,
I
mean, it's fair to at least consider, because, mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
But, I can't imagine argument. That they would legitimately just be like, oh, you know, screw it, just, whatever, we know.
Well, yeah, see, I can.
But then again, who knows, they might.
Well, anyway, let's talk about a female character that I think we can all get on board with, who is Scarlet Witch. Is
oh
there anyone
God.
Here who didn't like Scarlet Witch? Sit down immediately if you did not like
She's
it.
Amazing.
Get
She's
out.
The sexiest voice of all time, and probably the most gratuitous cleavage shot I've ever seen in a film, ever.
We don't need to talk about that. Let's talk about how Scarlet Witch is like the most powerful Avenger, basically, and she should be in charge of everyone.
Yeah, and they don't even talk about barely talk about what she can actually do. It's just like
everything.
Yeah, she's weird. And then just red manipulation, smoke, weird stuff. Oh, she tore one apart.
I did really like the visual way that they represented both of their powers. I thought that was especially Quicksilver considering what happened in the X-Men movies and that Quicksilver.
Oh, is that the same character?
Yeah.
I was wondering why they had the same name. I was like, that's really a funny coincidence.
It's the same
I wonder
one.
Why Disney killed this one off.
Yeah. Oh, Jimmy, man. I know you have some thoughts about this.
Well, Disney's just been killing off all the characters that they don't own the movie rights for. So, I mean, it's just typical. I mean, X-Men their runs are running short. They just killed Deadpool because a Fox movie is coming out. And shoot, they have to go up against Fox for Quicksilver, so they kill this incarnation of Quicksilver so that the kids don't buy the action figure. It's wild, man. I mean, and I'm not in the boardroom. I can't say why they're doing it, but it's also kind of it's really special. It's to watch. And Fox is doing Fantastic Four, and guess what's out of print now? Fantastic Four. You can't buy it anywhere.
I mean, who really wants to read Fantastic Four? But anyway, that's
Nobody.
A different question.
No.
That's a different question. Yeah, I love the twins. I really love their relationship. The scene when they're explaining about when they were in the house with Ultron. I just, everything. They were just so great.
They were introduced so well. Like, you know, I feel like they went through everything. Like, they were introduced to see really crazy, especially that shot with Black Widow when she, like, no, when, sorry, with Scarlet Witch. Whatever her colors, when she like she backs out and closes the door, and it's like this ghostly The Ring type of like whoa, and so she's extremely creepy, and then she goes from that to being this really enigmatic villain, and then she comes around and she's this reluctant badass hero, and I felt like she got all the good, like all the best things from every
she was everything. I totally agree, and I like that she was
she
the brains of the operation too.
Well, I mean, and she, what she does is the entire break into Act 3 when she realizes that Ultron is planning on destroying the world. You know, like, she's the one that finds out the plan and, like, undermines it.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Exactly. She changes, she's allowed to have real impact on the story, which, you know, speaking of female characters, is unfortunately not always the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless you have Black Widow on the tower saying, I can close it! I've never seen this technology before in my life, but I'm pretty sure that this is how it works.
Yeah, I miss that Black Widow. Anyway, and Quicksilver, I mean, were we sad when Quicksilver died? I thought that was a pretty effective scene the way they did that, although I wasn't surprised.
It was so cheesy, man.
I liked it. I was sad, but I was okay with it because it was, you know, it came so Hawkeye could live. Like, I was, you know, because they were kind of, I mean, you knew he probably wasn't going to die because they were making it so obvious that they were setting him up to die. And it was like, if he really dies, this is going to be so dumb. But there was like one brief moment when I thought, oh, like they're just going to, because let's face it, a few of these Avengers are visually getting old. you know, like just based on that, like Hulk and Hawkeye, like you could almost see them aging in this film. Like you could see what scenes were filmed first. You know what I mean? So I was thinking, oh no, they're going to kill him off because he like doesn't look like the just, you know, stereotypical buff superhero anymore. And then, you know, so I was happy he got to live.
Oh yeah, from the moment he's like, his wife is like, oh, you can't go out avenging anymore. And he's like, I got to go out avenging.
One last mission.
I think it was Joss Whedon's classic bait and switch. You kind of go, okay, they're not going to die because he's making it too obvious. Because he always does this with everything that he does.
Yeah, except there is for the few times when it actually is the person you think is going to die is the one who dies. So you're not like 100% sure, but you're right, yeah.
Did anyone else notice what Maria Hill happened to say about Quicksilver?
No.
Regenerative powers.
I mean,
he's got heightened metabolism.
I heard that. I was like, ooh, diet.
I thought that maybe it would have something to do with that until she said metabolic, but that's the classic, like, everyone always says that Flash and Quicksilver need to have increased metabolic abilities in order to be able to do anything like they do, but then you're trying to explain how Scarlet Witch does the shit she does, and it's like, no magic.
Language.
Oh, yeah. Boy. All right, it's a force of habit by now.
That makes me Captain America, I think, so I'm okay with that. I think for me,
I'm just the American. I have to live here. Can't I at least be the captain?
No.
You can be Captain Canada. Live with it.
Let's talk about something I know you want to talk about, which is Ultron. And James Spader is my favorite human being probably on the planet. And Ultron was like one of the dumbest villains. And still the second best Marvel villain that we've seen after Loki, I would say. Because Marvel are real bad at villains.
I loved real him. Bad. I thought he was so funny.
Yeah, I love him too. I loved him too. But he's the worst.
I was really hoping that he would be genuinely scary. At no point was he actually scary, though.
Oh, no.
Which was a little disappointing because, you know, I mean, even the trailers for Iron Man 3 tried to make Trevor Slattery look like he was the most, the scariest badass in the world. But then, of course, it turned out to be Trevor Slattery. So I think that's the classic Marvel bait and switch, is to make the villain look as, like, scary and intimidating and ridiculous as possible, and then turn them into chopping off Andy Serkis's arm and going, ooh, no.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That was probably my favorite part of the whole movie. It was, oh, God, and then trying to put it back on.
I mean, that basically sums up Ultron's character, I think.
Yeah, pretty much. I feel a little bit like Ultron was, like, obviously he was born, and he basically just was born as a petulant teenager. trying to rebel against his parents. That's what he felt like to me. The logic behind the why he thinks destroying humanity is the only way to get peace didn't get explained particularly well, but, you know, some movies have gone with more outlandish plots and kind of gotten away with it. So, you know, I guess you just gotta accept it despite the kind of real clear-cut motivation for it. It just felt like, oh, well, we need to give him some grand plan because they need something to fight against. You know, there could have probably been better ways to have approached it, but yeah, he was just like a one-note villain in terms of his motivation and the depth of that. But, like, some of his lines were great, and his delivery of lines was hilarious and always really, really spot on. But, yeah.
I think they can get, I mean, I feel like it's kind of the lazy answer, but in a way they they can get away with the fact that Ultron is just like the dumbest villain. He's just like, no, I'm just going to blow everything up. I think that'll solve the problem. That's the entire thing. That's all his motivation. They get away with it because James Spader is like the most charismatic guy on the planet. Like, he sells anything. And so even when you're watching it and you're like, this is ridiculous. And as you said, Jimmy, at no point are you like genuinely worried or scared like of this guy, you still are kind of intrigued by him because James Spader is just the best. And I don't know if that was like a general experience, but everyone that I've seen the movie with kind of agrees with that, that like Ultron was the worst, but James Spader's great. Love James Spader.
Yeah.
Well, part of what worked at the same time didn't work for me and worked really, really well was that a lot of movies having to do with AI always come back to the fact that like, oh, you know, humans should die because they're terrible. And they typically do have different reasonings, and you see, like, the machine working it through. But this did kind of just take the shortcut in that it didn't explain why. He just came to the conclusion. But at the same time, I thought that his solution for how to get rid of all of the humans without access to the nuke codes and without access to all that was really, really elegant and cool visually. Like, just taking a chunk of the Earth and turning it into an asteroid and annihilating the whole planet. So cool. And not anything that I've really seen before. However, I did think from the moment that they said that they were going to South Africa, I thought he was getting vibranium to create the classic Ultron vibranium shell to be able to go up against Captain America and his vibranium shield. Why wouldn't that be why he goes to get the vibranium? And then it turns out to just be like an energy source, like the Tesseract. And I was just like, well, all right, that kind of changed what I thought vibranium was, because you said that it was the strongest metal on Earth, but now is it also this power source that'll allow you to float this city? Like, all right, okay. As I eat popcorn, the first one was about how like the cosmic cube opened up a thing in space because of Loki's scepter. I at the same time had every problem with it and zero problem with it. So
yeah, I think I'm the same way. I was just like, okay, like that's really how I took everything in this movie. Just like, oh, cool. Okay, then.
Now this is.
And
happening.
It was summed up by Hawkeye's line, just like, you know, there's robots everywhere on a flying island. Nothing.
And I have a bow and arrow.
That is a great brilliant. Line. Although I think maybe my favorite line was when Ultron's talking about vibranium. He's like, it's like the most special metal on the planet and humans made a frisbee with it.
My favorite line was like the same from Ultron when he was like, I'm glad you asked. Let me take this time to explain my plan in detail.
This is what I'm saying. James Spader sells anything. Yeah. It wouldn't matter what they gave Ultron.
But I just like that they didn't take themselves too seriously with that. Like I really came into this sort of feeling like this is going to be a fun action romp, and I feel like Joss Whedon was the same, you know what I mean? Like, he was like, you know what, this is ridiculous, I'm just gonna run with it, and he did.
Can we talk about, though, for all the pulpy fun action that this movie is from beginning to end, how beautiful that android robot scene is at the end in the forest? Can we talk about how that scene deserves every single award for writing and directing and acting that has ever been in existence?
Really? The rest of the movie, I thought it was so cheesy.
I'm going to watch that scene forever.
I really like the Vision's shade of red. You know, like that opaque sort of... Wow.
We also don't see Ultron being destroyed by the mind... Is it the mind gem or the soul gem? It is the soul gem.
It's the mind gem.
Well, yeah, we didn't see Ultron actually die from it like most of the villains that we've seen conquered by power gem. By Infinity Stone. So, does that mean that it's going to be Thanos and Red Skull and Ultron and... Help me out here. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Symbol for Isis. Oh my god.
Captain Planet.
Captain...
Yeah,
and
he's
Captain
the next,
Planet.
He's the next big villain. But wait, you're venturing off into speculation. I feel like we haven't even talked about the Vision yet. Like,
yeah.
I
mean, more characters. We'll get there. Don't worry.
We'll get
Do we like the Vision? Danya, I feel like you did like the Vision.
I did
like one of the things you did like.
Yes. The Vision was actually one of the few things that I liked. Like, I liked the kind of, like, his interactions with some of the other characters were really, really good.
And like Thor especially.
I loved him against Thor. I think that was one of the few things that included Thor that I thought was actually, you know, pretty decent and added to the movie in some way. Like, I liked the kind of
Ronin
kind of way that it came around from the hammer and him just handing him the hammer.
I loved the whole hammer thing. Can I just say, like, throughout everything with the hammer, I thought it was amazing.
Is not working.
Yeah, that was a great scene. I have to say, the scene where they're at the party, that's the footage that they showed at Comic-Con last year.
Uh-huh.
And from watching that, that's why I was like, oh, I'm going to really like this movie, because I like those moments where they're just like hanging out and talking to each other. I feel like, but yeah. I think maybe there were less of those than I was hoping there would be. But yeah, all the stuff with the hammer was great.
And it's also, it was such a great way to make, because I come into this, I have no idea what the Vision is. I'm like, oh no, when you essentially have a preview of the Civil War where you have Captain America on one side and Iron Man on the other side, and they're sort of going up against each other saying, you don't know if this is going to be a good guy. I think it's going to be a good guy, blah, blah, blah. Jarvis, I was confused. I had no idea what was going on. This Vision guy comes out. And at this point, I don't know if you guys probably knew what he was. I had no clue. And then all it took, literally, for me and the characters to get that this guy was, like, legit, was for him to pick up the hammer. And for me, a non-comic book fan, like, it just worked perfectly, because suddenly that earlier moment, which I loved, had, like, a whole new relevance. Like, the Vision, they were all like, how do we know we can trust you? How do we know we're on your side? And he just, like, we have to go, and gives him the hammer, and everyone in the cinema was like, oh!
Yeah, same in mind. That was a really fantastic visual demonstration.
Yeah, it was. Because then I was like, okay.
Fans and non-fans. Yeah. It's a great moment.
I completely agree. I really thought that we were going to get Cap smashing Ultron's head with the hammer at the end. Like, I really thought that that's what
it was
going
to be. Does Captain America pick up the hammer in the comic books?
Yeah.
That's his, that's like one of his biggest arcs, but it doesn't happen until Infinity War.
Okay, because that's what I loved. Oh, sorry, go on.
Oh, that's why, you know, he moves it a little in that scene. He's the closest. None of the others are worthy, but Cap's, like, on his way.
Yeah, because I love that. And Thor, like, oh.
Did you know, funnily enough, Black Widow also on one occasion picks up Thor's hammer. But it's only very, very briefly. Like, she's, like, right up against it, and she's, like really, really in, like, a really bad place. And she tries, like, protecting... Like, the reason that she gets to pick up the hammer is because she uses it to protect someone else.
Yeah. I remember that frame, the one with her all covered in lightning. That was so cool looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think, have we talked about all of the new characters? I mean, then there were also, like, 4,000 cameos from, like, the Iron Man movies that Selena has not watched.
Yeah.
And we had Hayley Atwell, Falcon, obviously Maria Hill, Nick Fury was in it for like half the movie. Okay, he's back.
I love Maria Hill. Can I just say that?
Yeah.
Like, she's my favorite character, I think.
Yeah. I love her. Although in my second screening, someone, and it may have been a person that I went to the movie with, at one point Maria Hill was like doing something and that said person was just like, shut up, Robin, like, at the screen. The whole cinema lost it.
Oh, man.
I was like, oh, I can't take you anywhere.
Oh, no.
But yeah, I kind of felt a little cameo fatigue. Most of my issues with this film, I think, stem from the fact that I just think there was too much going on. And, you know, all of the cameos, like, there's so many Avengers now. Thor has to go off and have a bath by himself and, like, disappear for 30 minutes. Like, all of this stuff is happening.
And meet the villain for Black Panther.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
Who's that?
I'm
so confused. Don't tell me.
Andy Serkis had his arm cut off for a reason. No. There was a lot of stuff in here that I was like, oh, if you hadn't put that in, if you hadn't had, like, all of these cameos, then maybe we could have had more time with, like, I don't know, the actual characters in this movie. But yeah.
There were some things that they wanted to make so obvious, like when Thor is having his vision and they flash back to all the individual stones that we've seen. And I'm like, oh man, we get it. Like, don't rub it in our face. You're losing everything you've worked for.
Oh, that was a terrible scene.
and you see all the stones like swirling around and they assemble inside the glove and you're like, oh, all right.
Yeah, so you're just going to smack us in the face with the glove? Is that your brick to the face?
All the way up to the mid-credit scene when all of a sudden Thanos just... Which I didn't know that intergalactic war gods spoke in, like, annoyed 80s gangsters terms, but he was like, gotta get this done myself for, like...
You know what? Can we just also talk about something that actually was really good?
Yes.
Guys, no,
please,
because I feel like we're skipping over. I mean, you guys are saying you think there were too many cameos and so much, but as someone who had no idea who half the people were, I actually really enjoyed most of the cameos. Like that dude who wasn't Iron Man, whatever Brody. His name was, I liked him. I thought he was hilarious, and every time he was on screen, I was like, yeah, guy I don't know. And I think that, like, you know, for example, like the party scene where it was full of people. Some of them I knew, some of them I didn't. I just remember watching that scene going, I wish they would just do, like, a tiny, like, scene like this just every once in a while where everyone just checks in with each other. Like, I would love that if that was part of, like, every... I know they can't, like, I know how movies work. I know they can't do that. But I just wish that they would just... go and don't have money, don't get paid for it, and just go and have like a party scene so we knew, oh, that's where Thor is, oh, that's where Black Widow is, oh, you know, we haven't seen that guy in a while, because I really enjoyed it. There was like a checking in, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I did really like the party. That was a fun scene. I would agree with that.
Yeah, I quite liked the party scene as well. You know, it was good. I just, the whole bit with Selvig though, the later cameo with that was... It didn't add anything to the movie at all. It was just like...
I thought
like...
it added humor, though.
Well, and it also seemed like it was kind of put in at the last minute. Like, like Joss Whedon is my idol when it comes to writing. And I mean, like, I try to base a lot of the stuff that I do off of, like, his work. Like, he's an inspiration to me, which is why it hurts me to see, like, an encounter between Thor and Selvig that's like, Eric Selvig, like, you need to come with me. And Selvig's like, oh, Thor, yes. Like, okay, I'm coming with you. Just like, come on. Like, you could have... All right.
Like, yeah, but okay, then it didn't really go anywhere. It was just so that, I don't know, he had someone to walk next to him. I don't know why he needed to take Selvig with him. There was no reason for it. It was just kind of like a friend just like randomly coming around and knocking on your door and being like, do you want to go on a road trip?
I enjoyed that, though. I think the only thing I didn't enjoy about that whole thing was that Thor, in my opinion, is the funniest of the Avengers, and I didn't like seeing him off by himself for that long. But I don't know. I thought seeing Eric again, even just for that short amount of time, I guess I kind of see the Avengers, like, on hype. Last week we were talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Merriman was saying how it's kind of like the glue that holds everything together. And maybe that's just how I see the Avengers movies, is that... Yeah, it is about the Avengers, but it's also about all of these smaller characters that are going to have bigger roles in the individual films. So I'm fine with seeing them pop in and out and have a few interactions and, you know, just for that reason.
See, I appreciate what you're coming from, Selena, and I find that really interesting because someone who I saw the film with was, I guess, similar to you, hasn't seen all of the individual movies in between, and they had a totally opposite experience where they were thinking, who are all these people? I'm so confused. This is taking me out of the film and making it less enjoyable. So I guess it depends, you know. Probably you're a little more in touch with those things. So you're like, well, I can assume that this guy's dressed like Iron Man. He's probably from the Iron Man movies. Whereas this person was like, what's happening? It's so confusing. Yeah. I was like, it's okay. It doesn't matter.
I just let it go. Okay. Like, that's ultimately like how I watch this. It's just, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. There's a laugh. I'm going to laugh, you know?
See, I think my second watching was a lot more along those lines, which is why, as I said at the start, it was a lot more enjoyable, I think. My main issue that I just remembered was that where was Tom Hiddleston in Thor's, like, weird dream? Because I swear he was filming. He was filming with Idris Elba for this. And, like, if you're going to cut one cameo, why would you cut Tom Hiddleston of all the others?
I think I may have the answer to that.
And that is my crying, just so sad, because I just want to see his face. But
originally the plan was to reveal to Thor in this movie that Loki is sitting on the throne of Asgard, but they realized after watching it and before they decided to do reshoots that Thor would immediately go back to Asgard if he thought that that was the case.
Well, yeah,
no kidding.
and so they had the whole thing with Loki where that was like the climax of Thor's vision, was seeing Loki on the throne and realizing like that he needed to go home for Ragnarok. But then they were like, no, he needs to go and like charge Vision's battery.
Yeah, I mean, that would have actually meant that Thor's side quest would have had something to do properly with the ongoing continuity of the universe. And it would have actually added something to it. Whereas instead, it just felt shoehorned in to kind of, I don't know, ram a point down our throats that we may or may not have picked up already. Like, it just felt so forced. So forced. But if we're also talking about people being left out of those visions that they were given by the Scarlet Witch, I don't understand why in Steve's perfect world vision of going home and him having everything that probably he would have wanted after the war.
Bucky?
Where the hell was Bucky?
Well, don't you think it's a little bit... I mean, do you think we have to make allowances for scheduling and contracts and all of that stuff sometimes? Yeah, like, it would have been great if he was there, but I'm sure there was a reason.
He didn't even need to have, like, a speaking part or even having to be, like, really in... like the scene as in interacting directly with Steve. He could have been stood over at the bar with a drink in the background.
I totally see where Selena's coming from, which is the same reason that I can't really be mad that like Jane and Pepper were not in this, because like
it was really on the nose lives. When they were talking about them though.
But at least they were mentioned properly.
Right. I think the problem with Bucky, and honestly, like, we're not going to get caught up in this, but there are a lot of people who are fans of Captain America, I know, have a lot of issues. What am I saying, a lot of people? Myself included. Yeah. Fans of Captain America have a lot of issues with the way that Joss Whedon depicts Captain America in the Avengers movies compared to, I suppose, how we see him in the Captain America movies. And I think what they were missing in this, notably, was a line that made it clear that rather than, oh, how's it going with missing persons? Oh, I'm chasing cold leads as a throwaway, which was, you know, about Bucky, making it clear that, you know, when Steve is not doing, like, his avenging, he is chasing down everything, because that's going to be key going forward in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And it's also key for his character. And so the actor, like Sebastian Stan, didn't even need him to be in it. You needed like to add two sentences to the conversation that he has with Sam Wilson. And I think that was a missed opportunity. But again, it's only something you're going to notice if you're a big Captain America fan.
I am as well. But the thing is that the thing that really, really bothers me about this entire movie.
Wait, you mean the other things haven't really bothered you?
I think the crux of it comes down to is I felt like Joss Whedon doesn't give a crap about anything else that's come before.
Do you really think so?
Yeah. And I feel like even in the kind of grand scheme of where the Marvel Cinematic Universe is going, Age of Ultron felt like thematically and stylistically like a huge step backwards. The whole thing felt stale. Like, the whole thing felt really stale. Like, the kind of relationships that they've built up through the entire, like, universe, and even things like Steve's motivations and stuff like that. Like, the way that he just depicted him in this movie was such a step back from Winter Soldier. Like, you got to see his kind of his motivations and how he's fitting in with the world and how he feels like versus like S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra and all of that stuff and how he feels about Bucky. And then in this film, it was like, it was almost as though Winter Soldier never happened, both for like how Black Widow performs in this movie and Steve. Like it just didn't feel like it fit in with the whole world. Like I could easily skip over this entire movie and it not have any impact on how I view the rest of the films.
Okay. Well, I think actually that's a really interesting perspective to come with, because I think that you are, and it's something that I guess I have, but not really consciously thought about, the fact that in this movie, the first Avengers movie was the first movie I ever saw for the Marvel series. So it was sort of like my introduction to all the characters.
That's a fun way.
Yeah. But this movie, after having seen all the individual stuff, I feel like you are right in that the characters that we see here are almost like abbreviated versions of the ones we see in the standalones. And we touched on this earlier, that how this movie is really about the ones that don't have standalones, and that everything we see from Thor and Cap, and to some extent Iron Man as well, it's almost they need their character, because I do think that we got the Cap sort of not fitting into the world. That was kind of a theme running through this, but it was a very sort of on the nose, very black and white theme, as opposed to in his own movies where it's much more detailed, obviously, because he's the star of his own movie. And to some extent, you know, Black Widow as well, as I think it was Jimmy said, that in the way I see it, and the way I think he sees it, it's that she's developing. But I totally understand how you could see it as her just being taken back to something that maybe not is not entirely truthful because it's so black and white.
Yeah, but there could have been other ways to have written,
of course,
this film,
absolutely,
to highlight that.
Absolutely. I
mean, and if we're going to like hold Joss Whedon up to this standard that a lot of people do, he's better than this then.
Well, but what I was trying to say, sorry, I'm going to let you, sorry, I keep like, rawr. But no, my point was just that, of course, you're absolutely right. There's a thousand ways this could have been a better movie. But I just think for what he was trying to do, he took a step back with some of the main characters to allow the focus to fall on certain other ones. He relied a lot on stereotypes, and I think it's the matter of balancing this huge movie for super fans and for people who have no idea who the Avengers are. You know what I mean? Like, I can just imagine how difficult it must be to make the characters simple enough that non-fans will get them, but complex enough. And also, there's so many of them, again, so many Avengers, and they all need to have their interaction. Like, just in terms of the math, I think it was a really, really good... And as you're saying, it's not perfect, but I personally just think it was a really good attempt at balancing for different audiences. But I totally understand what you're saying.
I think, for me, I start off... It's funny. When I start watching these movies, I start off where Donya is, like, furious, and I end up where you are, Selena. Like, I watched The Avengers the other week,
totally,
and I was like, this is the dumbest movie I've ever seen, but it's so fun. Like, it doesn't make any sense. When you actually watch it, there's a point near the end of it where they're all just losing the fight, and then suddenly they're winning, and it's, like, never addressed. And all of these things happen in The Avengers. And, you know, but if you can remove yourself... Yeah, you overlook it. You go, exactly what you're saying. You go, okay, that's happening. Okay, this is what's going on now. And, you know, it's nice when you reach that point. It takes me a little longer to get there than it's taken you,
and it's
Lena.
Totally,
and I'm
legitimate.
Not sure if Donya will ever get there.
No, and that's totally legitimate, because I think you came in as a huge fan whose expectations were sky high. And that's why I keep going back to The Hobbit, because I kind of feel like I'm the same way, like, with that. That's a franchise. And Harry Potter, for you know, let's not get into that. But, you know, that's the thing where you love the canon so much and you have such high expectations and you imagine the perfect movie in your head. And what you see on the screen is just everyone is not represented the way they should be. There's no weight on the stuff there should be a weight on. They spent all this time on like a 15-minute action scene, which they could have used to call out all these things they should have been calling out. I totally get it. And I'm really like sad that you were so disappointed because...
Yeah. I do that to myself every time as well. For Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, I was furious. And I haven't watched it since. I probably should. But the first time I watched Avengers... I mean, the first time I watched Iron Man, I thought that it was unremarkable. The first time that I watched Iron Man 2, I thought it was dumb. The first time I watched Captain America, I watched it 3 times because it was great, because I had no expectations.
Because it's the best, yeah.
But then I saw Avengers, and I was so let down by it at first. But now I've seen it 180 times.
What? Are you serious? Is that the actual number?
I haven't counted, but there was a while there when I was first starting to get exercising when it was all that I watched when I was on the treadmill.
See? Fitspiration. I was telling you guys. He wasn't even here when I said that.
It's something magic. There's something magic about these movies and Kill Bill. Those movies in particular.
I can see how that would work. Well, all right. I think, have we all hated on this movie enough and celebrated?
I think there was a few things that I wanted to bring up, and one of them was the hint of a... And another thing I thought they did really well, in my opinion, was the hint of the animosity that's building between Iron Man and Captain America.
I was actually expecting
the fight to start in this movie, and I was actually a bit happy that it didn't, because I felt like it was much more like a push and pull back and forth, and they ended on friendly terms. And because I know about Civil War, I'm like, no, best friends.
It is refreshing to see them be more best friends before they get torn apart, because they need to, because then in the comics they were best friends for years before they got torn apart, so we need a little bit more of that. But I was looking for the world splitting event that Civil War would have to address.
Right.
And I mean,
I hope that doesn't happen off screen.
Yeah.
Well, there were some things that they said, like, would have an effect. You know, like how they focused on all the civilians during the Hulk rampage and all those things. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they left, they shook hands, and everything
seemed great.
It kind of ended very much the same way the first Avengers did. Just, all right, we're just batting, like, literally, like smacking the dust off our hands.
Like I was
saying, except Scarlet Witch had highlights. Yeah. She's a good guy now.
Yeah, it was.
And no one's asking. None of the students at this new Avengers Academy are asking questions about the purple and green android that can move through walls. No one said anything about him. I also love how they didn't feel the need to explain his power base. They just showed him reaching into chests and like,
who's purple and green? An who are you talking android. About?
Huh?
Who are you talking about?
Vision.
He's not purple and green.
Red and
he's mold, red and yellow.
Green. He's like
red
a
red and yellow.
Yeah.
Wait, is this the dress all over again? What's happening?
I think that this is when I find out that I'm colorblind, or just when you guys find out that I'm a man, and I think that purple and green is red and yellow. I know.
Well, he's like bright green in the comics, so that's the thing. Yeah.
And I love how, by the way, it's really random. Like... He added that. He looked at Thor and then he added a cape. I thought that was hysterical. Anyway,
that was amazing.
I did laugh at that a lot.
All I was thinking in my head was Edna Mode. No capes.
Yeah, always a Madonna. No, that's actually what I want to talk about. Like, where do we think it's kind of going from here? Because this is really the last. I mean, as far as we know, the last Joss Whedon version of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now the changeover happens to the Russo brothers.
Uh-huh. I really want to ask you guys, because I'm so curious, like, the people we saw at the end, are they the new, like, are we gonna, is this the end of Hulk? Is this the end of Hawkeye? Like, is this...
As far as we know, those are the new Avengers. Hawkeye went to go be with his family forever.
Yeah.
Hulk is circling the planet. Or didn't they have a line about him,
no,
like...
No, he fell in the ocean.
He fell. He definitely fell in the ocean.
Yeah, no, they're just saying that.
I like the idea that he's still up there and that like he could potentially
drop down at any moment.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, look, guys.
Or like,
could
I
you imagine if Infinity War is happening and literally like Thanos is like, "Who have you got to stop me?" And then just a plane crashes.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Oh no! Never
all
mind.
I was doing I was talking with one of my friends, I was basically like, I was just expecting him to blast off into space and be like, "See ya, suckers! I'm the Planet Hulk."
That'd be amazing.
You know that end scene, though, I have to bring this up. I made a note of this because it's just like, you know, like I'm writing up articles every once in a while for Avengers people as well. And there was this one article with Anthony Mackie where he was like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be in like Civil War. And I don't really know. I mean, those guys, you know, they just do their thing. I'm just happy to be asked. And he's like clearly a super fan. And you see his little face at the end. When he lands with the wings in the end scene, he's just so happy to be there. Like, I'm an Avenger now. And it's just
happy to be included.
The joy on his face just, like, melted me. It was so genuine. Like, he was legit so happy to be there. I love that.
Yeah, I actually really like this, like, new Avengers lineup thing. Mm-hmm. I actually really, really like the people that they've got in there. Like, they've got Rhodey, they've got Sam. They've got Wanda, they've got the Vision, which I will say the really, really nice little touch where the Vision comes in and grabs her and flies away with her. That was such a nice little touch.
I was wondering if that was significant.
In the comic books, that is their biggest, like one of their biggest relationships is between Wanda and the Vision. And it was just a
which
nice...
Which is going to be fascinating to see if they touch on that in an Infinity War.
Yeah, but it was such a nice little... Like, this is what I mean, is that something like that was such a nice little touch and a nice little hint at a relationship or at a connection between two characters without forcing it. Like, that was really, really nice. And it was kind of just like one of those things where it was like, oh, that was just like a nice moment.
And you wanted more of that. Yeah, yeah.
Or without having to give us a terrible visual. Doesn't he actually say something like, what if I Hulk out during... Like, isn't that exactly what he says?
Oh,
and it just gives you a vision that you cannot
don't want.
Yeah.
There were some. Yeah. I mean, I get it. There were some like on the nose moments.
It's a good reason to not have sex with the Hulk, man.
Well, yeah, that too. That's not what I meant. But yeah.
No,
but
Selena's like, oh, I get it.
But no, I mean, he has never had. No, anyway. I feel like. I don't know, guys. I'm really just ending on this note where I'm so upset that Danya was so disappointed. I really am. But I'm just still left with this, me going in, knowing what I knew and with the expectations that I had. And the fact that I'm going to be honest with you, I haven't had a good feeling about a movie I've seen in the cinema for like 3 years. You know, I've come out disappointed every single time, except for How to Train Your Dragon 2, which I loved. Feel like, you know, I just feel like for me... I appreciated the humor. I appreciated the... Also, because I think, you know, for some of these... I'm sorry, I'm almost done. for some of these, like movies, people are so... Like, yeah, that character's awesome. Yeah, that fight scene's awesome. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just sitting here going, yeah, but who is these people? Like, why do I care? Why do I care that we're seeing Uncle Ben die for the gazillionth time? Like, give us something new. And I think, like, ultimately, for me, this was all new. The characters... We're all doing new and interesting things and interacting with each other in ways I hadn't seen them interact before. And just for someone who was really, really tired of the sameness, I appreciated that this felt new.
Oh, because I feel the complete opposite. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Like, I feel like this was stale. This is something that we've seen a million times before.
It's funny.
It added nothing.
Let me ask you this.
It added nothing new.
Like, were there any other Marvel movies that you disliked this much the first time that you saw them?
Thor 2.
Oh, well, that's a whole other reason.
This is probably, like, the more I've been thinking about it and the more I actually properly sat down and looked at everything. Like, I looked at it and I kind of, because I came out of the film not feeling, like, I felt kind of like, I don't know if I enjoyed it or not.
I remember when you Facebook messaged me and said, I think I might have not liked it. You really didn't want to believe yourself.
Yeah, I kind of came out of it being a bit like, I don't know if I enjoyed it. I don't think I did. I don't feel great coming out of this movie, where a lot of the time I feel pretty good when I come out of a Marvel movie. But this and Thor 2 were pretty much two of the films that I've come out and I've gone, do you know what? I'm not sure that I enjoyed it.
I could certainly say a lot of things about a lot of the Marvel films, including Age of Ultron, about my feelings about them. But enjoyment was certainly something that I had during all of Age of Ultron. I never felt bored, which is something that I was all the time during Iron Man 3. I never felt played down to like I felt during Thor 2. I didn't feel like it was a stand-up comedy act like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh.
And I also, I mean, Winter Soldier is my favorite film, but I also didn't feel like I was watching CNN.
So, yeah, you know what? I have to say this. I have to make a confession here because I didn't want to say it because I knew you were all going to hate me now. But I have to say, Winter Soldier, I did not enjoy it. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I know it's your favorite film, Merrima, and I wasn't going to say it, but I just think it kind of helps explain my perspective. Because but the thing I didn't like about it personally was I felt it was too much politics. Like, it was back and forth with S.H.I.E.L.D., because I don't have any invested. Right, but that's the thing is that I haven't grown up reading comic books. I had no one to, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have that inherent investing,
And I gotta tell you that as an American, it's really, really freeing to know that your country is hated so much for killing so many innocent people overseas with these drone strikes, and to see Captain America take down three gigantic American drones.
Yeah, see, for me, that didn't so resonate at all, because I was just like, yeah.
All right, this is not Captain America.
No,
cast.
No, not at all. And I'm not going to, like, hate on it at all, but I'm just saying.
That's Captain America cast.
Well, no, Selena, I want to ask you something then, because I think that's a totally valid point of view, although, of course, you're wrong, because Winter Soldier is the best.
Yeah, of course.
The Russo brothers who directed Winter Soldier are, of course, directing Civil War, and then they're also directing Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2. So how do you feel about that? Because it seems like you've really enjoyed Joss Whedon's take on the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Are you sad to see him go?
I am sad to see him go. Not too sad. I mean, I'm not against the Russo. They see, like, my explaining of Captain America was that whenever it was a character moment, I was 100% on board with. But I feel like, with all the, like, again, with the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff, because I don't know it's important, it didn't convince me it was important. I think that's just, like, the point I was trying to make. But I think for me, just all of the, like, this is the era of comic book nerds becoming cool. And this is the time when all of the people who grew up watching comic books are now the ones making the movies. They all have a little Hollywood club where they geek out and make movies, and I think that's amazing, but I feel so left out because I grew up, just watching
in Denmark.
Exactly. I legitimately feel like I didn't have, like, the cool older brother or the dad, not to, like, gender stereotype, but I didn't have that. I just grew up, like, in the country, chopping wood, reading Donald Duck, watching
on your coconut phone.
Yeah, watching, on Sundays there was this, like, this program of, like, three TV series, and it was Buffy, and it was Angel, and it was Roswell, and that's what I grew up watching. So I'm like, it's from such a limited, what I'm trying to say, sorry, totally off tangent. What I'm trying to say is, for me, I think I'm so intimidated by this universe, both DC and Marvel. I'm so out of my depth. What I like is stuff like Guardians of the Galaxy and Avengers. I want to be entertained. I want to feel like I'm having, a fun, exciting, entertaining, action-packed, fun adventure with these people, and all of this side stuff is not like I'm stupid. I get it, but I don't feel emotionally invested enough. So I think I just wanted to bring it up because I think it explains a lot about why something like this Avengers movie really spoke to me, whereas maybe some of the standalone movies don't speak to me as much.
For me,
totally valid.
Yeah, because for me, like, that feeling, that having fun and connecting with the movie kind of thing, that feeling, I got that with Winter Soldier.
Yeah, because that's, like, it felt true to the universe you knew, I'm assuming.
Yeah, but I'm not even talking about the comic universe. I'm just talking the movie universe. Like, both Avengers movies in their own way. But I will give this to the first Avengers movie. It at least gave me that feeling of excitement coming out of it, and it also connected back to the rest of the movies enough mm-hmm. that it fit in, whereas this one didn't. And yeah. I think it's out of sync mm-hmm. with the rest. Like, the Marvel Universe has grown up and passed by this film.
Interesting.
Like, the rest of the movies, you know, excepting, like, Thor 2, I think Thor 2 was another one of those ones that just felt a little bit kind of out of place. The Marvel Universe has sped past Joss Whedon so far, and this is, like, back in, like, 2012 in terms of how he's kind of depicting a comic book movie. So.
I also don't think it's necessarily 100% Joss Whedon's fault, because, I mean, you have this beautiful escalation from the very beginning. Like, Iron Man, he just saves one little portion of the world. Iron Man 2, he saves another little portion. Captain America saves, like, America from getting bombed. And then you have an alien invasion for Avengers. It's a nice, like, you see the amount of stakes growing, and then for Iron Man 3, they're all over the place because you've got no idea what Aldrich Killian is even doing. For Thor the Dark World, the entire universe is at stake, and Thor just saves it. And then for Captain America, they bring it back down a little bit to just the entire American government has been infiltrated. Guardians of the Galaxy is saving the universe again, and so Age of Ultron feels almost inconsequential with let's save the Earth, but specifically this Russian village. You know, like it is. It kind of, it seemed a little less definitive than the Avengers, because the Avengers was more save New York, save the world. You know.
Yeah.
All right, we have, I think, a lot more to say, but I don't think anyone's going to convince anyone to change their mind, which is a good thing.
It's not about that at all.
No, not at all.
It's diverse opinions. If you want to let us know what you thought about Age of Ultron, you can tweet us. A couple of people did that. Emily said, so much fun. If you don't look too deep and more Whedon than I have seen anything in my life.
Absolutely.
And Spam Fiend 1970, you should change that name, says, a breathtaking tour de force full of action, drama, suspense, romance, and bucket loads of explosions. Hashtag Hulk smash. So if you want to let us know what you think, you can tweet us for Hype Podcast at Hypeable Hype. That's our brand new Twitter account. So if you're not following it, this is a good reminder to go over and do that. And also you can find Hero Hype on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast. Or, of course, you can leave us a comment on this post on hyperbull.com. We're gonna finish on a fun thing Selena wants to do. So we're going to go around and say who our favorite Avenger is. But is this, like, in general, or is this based on Age of Ultron?
Yeah, I was going to ask mainly, like, also if maybe someone's opinions have changed after Age of Ultron, because it certainly has for me.
All right, well, why don't you start us off?
All right, then.
Selena.
Well, I think in general, my new favorite character in this universe is Scarlet Witch. But as for
and
the
who
characters...
who did it used to be?
Well, I was going to say, as for the characters that we saw in the first one to the second one... See, I'm really just Avengers here. I'm like, whatever other movies...
I think that's a good perspective. Yeah. It's totally, a lot of people are on that with you.
Mm. But so, in the first movie, my favorite character was Hulk. In this movie, my least favorite character was Hulk. So interesting. And I think my favorite movie coming out of this probably is Thor, which is kind of, I want to say it's Black Widow because I feel like that's cooler. But I think my secret favorite is Thor just because I think he's hilarious. And I was most disappointed that he wasn't a part of the main action. I also really gained a lot of respect for Hawkeye. I thought he was really, really cool. And I liked that he wasn't mind melded this time.
Yeah, you got to speak.
Yeah, and I like Cap as well. I don't like Iron Man, and that's all I'm going to say.
That's fine. I think that probably leads into Donya's favorite character. I'm going to guess it starts with her and ends in Hawkeye.
Yeah, you got it right. Hawkeye is still my favorite. But obviously my love of Hawkeye comes from the comic books, and I haven't been a massive fan of how he's been portrayed up until this film.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, the first one, that was terrible.
I think for me... he is the one redeeming feature of this, like, one of the few redeeming features for me of this movie.
Like, well, I'm glad you liked some of it.
Yeah, I feel like it came at the expense of everything else. But, you know, I really, really loved Hawkeye and also Scarlet Witch and The Vision. I mm-hmm. really, really enjoyed both of them. So,
all right, Jimmy, who is your fave? Hit us with it.
Well,
can't say Ultron.
pre-Captain America, the first Avenger, it was Captain America. Post-Captain America, the first Avenger, it was Captain America. Post-Avengers, it was Captain America. Post-Winter Soldier, it was Captain America. And post-Age of Ultron, Captain America.
I do like
good
him.
Answer. Good
answer. Good
Captain America is just, you can't beat
He's
him.
Just
His
the
interpretations,
best, man.
It's easy to interpret him as just like this, like,
Superman.
He's just this macho kind of dude, but that's not at all who he is. And I love most of the interpretations we've gotten of him so far.
All right.
So even Whedon's in the Avengers.
There.
It's,
yeah.
You know, it's, there's a lot of different things that you can do with Captain America, and a lot of, as long as he stands for the same basic ideals, I'm fine.
Excellent. For me, my favorites going into this were definitely Cap and Black Widow. And I didn't like how either of them were portrayed in this, but that's okay because I love Scarlet Witch. So she was definitely my favorite in Age of Ultron. And I'll just come back to the other two once we are not in a Joss Whedon film anymore. And I think it'll be fine once we get back to a Russo Brothers film because I seem to like the way that they take on those two characters a little more. But as we said, that's okay. We'll just, Selena pretends the other movies don't exist and I might pretend that this movie doesn't exist.
And everybody wins.
Yay.
It's fine. You could just like build your own. It's like assemble your own Marvel Cinematic Universe from the movies that you choose to include in it.
Civil War is going to be a really good test of the Russo brothers and how they handle an ensemble cast, because even though it's a Captain America standalone movie, there's going to be enough of the wider
it's basically an Avengers
character
movie.
Base.
Let's
yeah, it's basically Avengers like 2.5.
Yeah,
and as much as I love Winter Soldier and I think that it is the best film of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, never forget the mysterious dig into the whole device. I will never forget the mysterious dig into the whole device.
I have no
and
idea.
No
what that
one
is.
Else should either.
The thing under the car when
they used it. They used it twice. I
oh,
think,
that
to,
thing
to get out of a sticky Winter Soldier situation where you're just like, oh, like biting your nails. How are they going to do it? Oh, they. Told
I know
the
what
way
he's talking
the
about.
Cartoon thing.
Selena was busy being like, I don't care about this at all.
Yeah, I was. Like,
she
just
wasn't
get
paying
out of there.
To that. Yeah. Okay, I think that's it. For our very first hype special and our first Hero Hype special edition. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Make sure you let us know what you thought of these like kind of more focused discussions because we're going to be doing them going forward on hype for all kinds of fandom
I'm
events.
I'm so glad
and
we had
hype.
All kinds of discussions and like all kinds of points of view on this so we weren't just all expressing one opinion.
Yeah,
agree. And we're going to try and do that nice. Going forward so that it's nice to have a range of opinions, I think. No one wants to listen to everyone agree with everyone because that's so boring.
Yeah.
And that never happens. So that's
never
good.
Happens.
Never, ever. So Hype will be back next week with our regularly scheduled weekly episode with all of the latest news. And Hero Hype will be back this week with all of the news from superhero movies and TV shows. And I'm going to stop Donya from talking about Age of Ultron the whole time, which will be a struggle.
I promise that I am not going
She's
to,
already
like,
blocking it out of her mind.
She got it out of her system. She's going to pretend it doesn't exist, which will be better for everyone.
Age of what?
Yeah.
Avengers what? No, it's fine. Okay, so that's it. We will see you guys next time. Thanks for listening, and make sure to check out both podcasts if you have not previously. If you're listening to this, you'll probably enjoy them both.
Let's hope so.
And yeah, that's it. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Let's keep talking. And talking.
Yeah, Avengers, cut to black. Do you want to do the Wayne's World music this time?
Let's do it. It'd be so funny.
Go on, your turn. You make the noise.
Was it? Yeah,
close enough. All right, so that was our very first Hero Hype special edition. And we hope you guys enjoyed it. Obviously, a lot of strong opinions there, and I'm sure we'll have a lot more to say about the film going forward as we record Hero Hype. Probably you guys will have some more things to say after more of you have seen it. Hopefully you didn't listen all the way through that if you haven't seen the movie, though, because spoilers, it's a little late now, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, let us know what you thought of this. Like we said, we think they're going to be really fun. Definitely keen on that Agent Carter idea that I just thought of. And, any others, let us know on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed listening to the Hype posts as well, and you can find them on Twitter at Hypeable Hype. That's a new Twitter account, so give them a follow if you are not already. And give us a follow if you're not already. But, why are you listening to us if you're not following us? That just seems so rude. There's some kind of passive-aggressive thing going on there, I'm not sure. But if you tweet at us, we'll generally tweet you back with a GIF/GIF. So there's some incentive. All superhero-themed. Yep. We cannot compute if they're not superhero-themed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or just Hawkeye.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's me. Yeah, we're not doing a Hawkeye-themed special edition. I'm saying right now, that's basically what this episode was.
Yeah, so pretty much.
You've got it out of your system, and I'm sure you'll never talk about Hawkeye again, because that's exactly how it works.
Yes, of course it is.
Exactly. All right, so that's it. We will be back with our regularly scheduled Hero Hype this week, and then we'll just be staying on that every fortnight. You get all of your TV movie news, and then just these fun episodes every so often. So let us know what you thought, and until then, I'm Marama.
And I'm Danya.
And this was Hero Hype with a bit of hype on the side.
Yay!